ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Canto 7, text number 70 is a verse on the board. I'll read the verses from 60. Sorry, text number 70 is on the board. And since that has a purport, and previous verses from text 67 to 69 does not have purport, so I'll just read the translation of that. So text 67. My dear King Yudhishthir, the most powerful Lord Shiva joined the arrows to his bow, and at noon he set fire to all three residences of the demons and thus destroyed them. Text 68. Seated in their airplanes in the sky, the inhabitants of the higher planetary system beat many kettle drums. The demigods, saints, pitas, siddhas, and various great personalities showered flowers on the head of Lord Shiva, wishing him all victory, and the apsaras began to dance, chant and dance with great pleasure. Text 69. O King Yudhishthir, thus Lord Shiva is known as Tripurari, the annihilator of the three dwellings of the demons, because he burned these dwellings to ashes, being worshipped by the demigods. Headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva returned to his own abode. Text 70. Evam vidanasya hare swamayaya. Vidam bamanasya nilokam atmanah. Viryani gitani rishibhir jagadgurur. Lokam punanani aparam vidanikim. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Lord Sri Krishna appeared as a human being, yet he performed many uncommon and wonderful pastimes by his own potency. How can I say more about his activities than what has already been said by great saintly persons? Everyone can be purified by his activities simply by hearing about them from the right source. Purport. Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literatures fully explain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in human society as an ordinary human being, but acts very uncommonly for the well-being of the entire world. One should not be influenced by the illusory energy and think Lord Krishna to be an ordinary human being. Those who really seek the absolute truth come to the understanding that Krishna is everything, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Such great souls are very rare. Nonetheless, if one studies the entire Bhagavad Gita as it is, Krishna is very easy to understand. The Krishna consciousness movement is just trying to make Krishna known all over the world as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. If people take this movement seriously, their lives as human beings will be successful. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all my exalted God brothers and God sisters. It's the first time I'm sitting on the Vyasa Asan to give Bhagavatam class. So there may be many faults, many mistakes. Please tolerate me, and at the same time bless me so that I can speak something of Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the last verse. Sorry, I forgot to read that. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among the Exalted Devotees. So the verse which we are reading today is the last concluding verse of this chapter. Actually, this whole pastime is over much before this. Pastime of Narsingdev coming, killing Hiranyakashipu, rescuing Prahlad. But Narad Muni is emphasizing, because Yudhishthir Maharaj had this query, just to give more confidence to Yudhishthir Maharaj, he all of a sudden gets another story of how Lord Shiva was protected or how Lord Shiva's reputation was on the verge of getting spoiled because of my Dhanav, and how Lord Vishnu again appears, that same Krishna appears to save Lord Shiva. So in this last concluding verse, Narad Muni is concluding, saying that he appears as a human being, yet he performed many uncommon and wonderful pastimes by his own sweet potency. How can I say more about his activities than what has already been said by great saintly persons? Everyone can be purified by his activities simply by hearing about them from the right source. So there are many points which can be discussed from this verse and from the purport which Prabhupada gives very beautifully. So I would just like to go point by point. One point which, to begin with, the most important and essential factor in our spiritual life, or our spiritual life begins with the first element or the first anga of the 9 processes of devotional service, that is Shravanam. And here, Narada Muni is emphasizing that unless and until one hears from the right source about the pastimes of the Lord, he cannot be purified. Or person or everyone, people in general, have to hear about the activities. And what sort of activities? The uncommon activities which Krishna performs. And that also when he appears as a human being. And the last word he says, from the right source. Because unless and until these activities of the Lord, which appear sometimes to be common activities, if they are not heard from the right source, then there are every chance of people or all of us getting bewildered or lost. So Krishna emphasizes, just like Narada Muni is emphasizing on hearing, even Krishna emphasizes whenever he wants to stress some point, like for example in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, he's emphasizing on hearing. In chapter 1, Krishna says, he begins the verse, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Sakta Mana Partha, Yogam Yunjam Madashraya, Asamshem Samagram, Mam, Yata Gyasasi, Tak Shrinu. Because whenever Krishna is trying to present some important principle, he is awakening Arjun to be more attentive so that he can hear, he may not miss any point. And here he is requesting Arjuna, Tak Shrinu, please hear. And what will be the result of that? Because if one hears attentively, then the result will be, which Prabhupada writes in the purport is, the Lord therefore says to Arjuna, Takshrinu, hear from me. No one can be greater authority than Krishna. And therefore, by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become perfectly Krishna conscious person. Second point he mentions, one therefore has to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna and not from a non-devotee upstart popped up with academic education. And Prabhupada adds to the purport, quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not only that the Lord is speaking in Bhagavad Gita that please hear attentively. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam, when it begins, Parikshit Maharaj going to Shikdev Goswami, the activity done is hearing. And that same narration, which was then spoken again by Srila Sudha Goswami to all the sages of Naimisharanya, when they were put many questions that what are we supposed to do, then Shukdeva Goswami, in a series of verses in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, begins narrating this series of verses, 5 verses. He begins with Srinavatam Svatata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Hridayantascha Bhadrani Vidunoti Suharit Satam Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Tada Rajastama Bhavo Kama Lobhadayaschaye Cheta Eter Anavidham Stitam Satve Prasidati Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogata Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate Vidyate Hridaya Granthi Chidyanti Sarva Samshaya Shiyante Chasya Karmani Drishta Evatmanishvare. So, to hear about Krishna from the Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through Bhagavad Gita itself is a righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna is dwelling in everyone's heart acts as a best well-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge as he hears more about Krishna from Bhagavatam and from the devotees. He becomes fixed in devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lust and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus, Bhakti Yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of asamshayam samagram, understanding the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. So these are the series of benefits which Suta Goswami is telling all the sages of Naimisharanya. Because unless until you know the benefit of some activity which you are supposed to do, you will not take seriously those activities. So hearing is such a serious activity. Unless and until every sadhaka or every devotee inculcates this aspect of devotional service, of trying to hear attentively, he cannot proceed forwards in devotional service, as Bhagavatam explains in this series of verses. And what if a person says, if I don't hear attentively, if I don't hear Bhagavatam every day, then as Prabhupada writes in the purport, then there is every chance, because already we are under the influence of material energy, already material energy through her three modes is influencing her, and her influence is so powerful that if we do not take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam every day, hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, then what happens? Even though the Lord, when appearing as human being, performs such uncommonly activities which no human being can ever do it, or which no other demigod can perform it, only Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do, even though we hear it or even though we know it, but if we are not regularly hearing about these pastimes, then there is every chance, due to the influence of material energy, that we can get bewildered and illusioned and think Krishna's activities to be mundane and to take Krishna as an ordinary human being. And therefore Krishna says, ava jananti mam muda manushim tanvashritam param bhavam na janato mam bhuta maheshwara. Even though I am the Lord of all the universes, but ava jananti mam mudas, the fools and the rascals deride me when I appear as human being. Therefore, hearing is such an important and essential element in this process of devotional service. And that is why in this whole episode of Prahlad being said by Narsingadev, the first instruction which Prahlad gives, he begins from Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. First we have to hear. And then only after hearing repeatedly, then we come to the stage of Kirtanam, when we can start chanting, we can start speaking. And in fact, all our devotional life, we have come to this moment, we have taken up Krishna consciousness. What is the first approach? How did we become devotees? We heard. Some devotee interfered in our life and he made us hear about this movement. He made us hear about Srila Prabhupada. He made us hear about the Vaishnavas. He made us hear about Bhagavad Gita. Made us hear about Srimad Bhagavatam. And then our attraction, due to that constant hearing, has developed and all of us are here. Therefore, hearing forms a very important aspect in every devotee's life. And this hearing is so important that even Lord Brahma, it is not that just Narad Muni is advising that one should hear from right source. His father, our Sampradaya Acharya, Lord Brahmadev, he also advises one should hear from right source. So in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam comes very beautiful narration of the churning of the ocean of milk. The whole point I'm discussing this topic is because Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna appears in the human society as an ordinary human being but acts very uncommonly for the well-being of the entire world. Whatever activity Krishna performs is ultimately for the benefit of the entire world. So, when the demigods headed by Indra, when Indra insulted Durvas Muni and Durvas Muni cursed Indra to lose all his opulence, all of them, they became weak and the demons became more powerful and they attacked Indra, the heavenly planets, and all of them had to lose the battle. And they lost the battle, and being defeated by the demons, all of them, they approached Lord Brahmaji for protection, to get their kingdom back. And Lord Brahma, as usually does, whenever there is problem, even he's not able to solve it, the first thing he does is approaches Lord Vishnu. He goes to, taking all the demigods, he goes to Shvetadvip. And he starts offering prayers. And to the Supreme Lord, he offers prayers to the Supreme Lord, but he mentions that simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with mind fixed, he offered the Lord prayers as written by approved Vedic literatures. He offered prayers simply because he had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he's stressing on the point that on this word, in this verse, Shruta Purvaya, the importance of hearing. So Prabhupada writes that hearing is so important, stressing again on that point, that many times the normal way of getting knowledge is seeing or hearing. But every time it may not be possible for us to see. Knowledge is acquired only by hearing. And Prabhupada writes that sometimes people ask us, can you show us God? But Prabhupada says, unless and until you hear about God, unless and until you hear about Krishna, how will you see, how will you know him? Even if Krishna comes right before you. Like in our medical college, our many of the professors, they have this common saying, whenever they ask, initially when they train us, so many of the findings, they tell us, come on, examine the patient. So many of the findings are there in the patient, but we are not able to point it out. So the common statement which they make this, the eyes does not see, which the mind does not know. Even though things may be there, but if the mind does not know that thing, eyes will never be in a position to see it. So how will the mind know? Only when we are constantly hearing. So even though the Lord may be there before us, but unless until we know the Lord, that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will not be in a position to identify him, to know that he is the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma offers prayers. There are a series of prayers which all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, they offer to Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu appears before them in such a effulgent form as if thousands of suns arisen together. And seeing the beauty of the Lord, all of them get so enchanted, enamored. And then they present their actual purpose for which, again they are offering series of prayers after the Lord had appeared. And then, like initial normal trend, if you see through Bhagavatam, whenever somebody approaches the Lord, he does not go and directly present his proposition. They will first glorify. And that is the usual way which every devotee is supposed to approach any great personality. You have to glorify that person, seek his mercy, seek his attention, and then present our request. So Lord Brahma, headed by, on behalf of all the demigods, presents the proposition or presents the condition of the demigods. He says, my dear Lord, you know it. You know nothing is hidden from you. You know what is the condition of demigods, what is their status. So kindly please help them. So in this whole pastime, why I took is, as Prabhupada says, the Lord is acting as human being, performing so many uncommonly activities only for the welfare of the entire society. So in this pastime of churning of the ocean of milk is the only pastime from beginning to end where the Lord has appeared in so many incarnations. The only purpose being to help the demigods to regain their kingdom back, the heavenly planets. So, being pleased with the demigods' prayers and Lord Brahmaji, Lord Vishnu tells them, gives them the instruction, and he again tells them, please hear it properly, what I have to say. I know that you have lost everything, but the only solution is, now you have to go and approach the demons and make a truce. Make a truce to churn the ocean of milk. And whatever they tell you, without any greed, without any anger, without getting agitated, just accept it. Just accept it. So many things will come out of that as a result of churning of ocean. Don't be greedy for it. Because ultimately, what is going to come out from that ocean is the nectar. And that is what you all need, and that is the ultimate goal. So don't bother about so many other things that might come on the way. So similarly, as all of us, especially when we become devotees, what happens? We give up so many things. For what? For the ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to go back home, back to Godhead, to get Krishna Prem, to develop love of Godhead. But in that process, so many things come. Name, fame, reputation, worship, adoration, distinction, so many things come. But if a person gets enamored by all those things, what happens? His ultimate goal is lost. He cannot achieve that. Therefore, this instruction of the Lord is very important. Because as we'll see, so many things are coming out from the ocean. So much attractive things. Things that can allure any ordinary person. But the demigods were instructed not to get bewildered by anything. Just be focused and do your service, do your activity of churning the ocean till you get the pot of nectar. Because ultimately that is only going to save you all. So the first thing, after giving this instruction, the Lord disappears. And then the demigods, headed by Indra, they approach Bali Maharaj and they make the truce, and even Bali Maharaj also accepts the truce, and then both of them, they make an agreement. And all of them, they go to, or they're in the process of beginning this churning. But how can they churn? The churning rod, this ocean of milk, is so huge. In order to churn that, you also need a huge rod. So they, all of them, the demigods and the demons, went to get the Mandar mountain, a mountain which is made up of gold. All of them, in their initial enthusiasm, because even the demons knew what is ultimately going to come out of it. And the truth was that both of us will share. So both of them were eager to get the nectar. And therefore both of them were very much encouraged, very much enthused to get the mountain. They got it, they lifted it. But Mandar mountain, being made of gold, and Prabhupada says gold is much more heavier than stone. They lifted it, and after some time, they were so tired, they could not lift anymore. They could not carry the Mandar mountain anymore, and they just dropped it. And when the mountain dropped, many of the demons and the demigods, their arms, their thighs, all of them got injured. And many of them practically died also. Now they were thinking what to do. So, the Lord, in order to perform his welfare activity, first step, what he took was, appeared before them, gave the instruction of churning the ocean. The second time when he appears is, when all the demons and the demigods, they are injured, the Lord appears as Ajita. By his merciful glance, he rejuvenates all the demons and the demigods. And not only does that, he personally with one hand lifts the entire Mandar mountain. All the demons and demigods put together were not able to lift it. But the Lord, as his Prabhupada writes, performs uncommonly activities. With one hand, lifts the Mandar mountain, places on the back of Garuda, and gets it to the ocean of milk. So, Garuda, being empowered by the Lord, also is as powerful or much more powerful than the demons and demigods. That is what every devotee becomes. Just being surrendered, just following the instruction, he is also empowered as much as he becomes as good as Lord. And he all carries, and the Mandar mountain is put in the ocean of milk. And then Vasuki is called to act as a rope to churn this ocean. And after placing the Mandar mountain, Garuda is told to move. Because now Vasuki is going to come. Prabhupada writes in the purport that Garuda is an eagle. And when an eagle sees a snake, the only thing he'll say is Mahaprasade. So Lord orders Garuda, just go away. Leave this place. Your role is over. And then the churning begins. So the demons take the tail side and the demigods take the head side. But the Lord also again, that same Ajita, also is there with the demigods to pull to churn this. And when the demon saw that, why have we given the tail end? Tail end is very inauspicious. And these demigods, they think themselves very learned, very pious. They've taken the head side. We don't want to churn. We want to take the head side. And Lord understood what is going on in the mind, the mood of the demons. And then they requested the demigods, kindly take the opposite end. Because initial instruction was, just do what they say. Don't argue, don't fight. Because the ultimate goal is the nectar. So all of them, they come. And they are pulling and pulling, churning. Churning is going on. Both of them are pulling. And because of the body being stretched, Vasuki emanates so much fire. Blazing hot fire emanates from his mouth. All the demons, their body get charred, their clothes get burnt. Prabhupada writes, just like due to hot sun, the trees in summer get burnt away, charred up. The demons' bodies were put in that condition. Even the demigod's body also. But again, the Lord performing or being merciful unto the demigods gets the clouds. And there is a shower of rain, cool breezes to cool the body of the demigods. And then both of them start pulling. And in that process of pulling, both of them become so exhausted. Both of them are exhausted. Even Vasuki is exhausted. His body is constantly being, you know, both of them are trying to get the nectar. But in between, Vasuki is, you know, like, you know, beach mein. So then the Lord empowers all three of them. The demigods in the mode of goodness, Vasuki in the mode of ignorance, and demons in the mode of passion. He enters in the body of them and encourages, enlivens them to continue this process of churning of ocean of milk. And then, even though after that also, all of them are exhausted. So Lord personally gets them aside, and with his both hands, he starts churning. And before that, actually, when the demons and demigods were churning, Mandara mountain starts sinking. Then again, uncommon activities of the Lord, performing for the welfare of all the society. He takes the form of Kurma, becomes a tortoise. A tortoise 800,000 miles big. That is the size of the tortoise. And enters the water and forms the base on which the Mandar mountain can move. Even though it was, now from external point of view, it may appear, Mandar mountain so heavy, it must be a heavy burden on the body of the Lord. But Shukdev Goswami says, the Lord was feeling an itch. And when Mandar mountain was moving on top of that, the Lord has a nice, pleasant sensation. Like all of us, whenever we have itch, if somebody is there to scratch our back, all of us feel so relieved. So Lord also was feeling like that. And because he did not have proper support from top, again the Lord appears in his thousand-handed form and sits on the summit of that mountain to completely balance it. From base is Kurma, and from top is again thousand-handed form. And then actually the Lord churns. And so many things come out of it. So many things are coming one out of the other. Halahal comes. First thing that comes out is the poison. And then the Lord again, along with demigods, they go to Lord Shiva requesting. Now the Supreme Lord, taking such a humble menial position, requesting Lord Shiva, kindly please accept the poison and relieve this entire cosmos. And after that, Lord Shiva, series of prayers, again demigods are offering. And the Lord accepts their proposal, consumes the poison to become Nilkanth. And then after that comes out the Surabhi cow, the Uchashrava horse, the Parijat tree. And ultimately comes that supreme personality who is effulgent, bluish form, young, handsome, with long, stout arms, called as Dhanvantri, who is also one of the expansions of the Lord. Lord again expands to become Dhanvantri with the pot of nectar. And after that, as soon as the demons, they see that our desired destined goal has now come, and because they had made a truce, and they, because they are demons, they have to show their original nature. Without even considering anything, they just attack Dhanvantari. The Lord was ready to get attacked by the demons, and they snatched the jug of nectar and ran away. And the demons are, demigods are thinking, what to do now? The whole effort is useless. We have put so much effort to get the nectar, and now the final nectar is in the hands of the demigods. Now what to do? Again they approach the Lord. Please Lord, help us. Kuch to karo, something. What to do? The Lord says, don't worry. Don't worry. I will get, see to it that you get the nectar. How? The Lord says, I will make these demons fight among themselves. And when these people, when the demons start fighting among themselves, automatically the pot of nectar will be in your hands. And that is what it happens. Because even among the demons, they start fighting. Because the nature of a demon is not like sharing with each other. Because they are selfish. Every demon wants to become powerful. And they started pulling the jug from each other. Thinking, I will drink, I will drink, I will drink. And in those category were some weak demons. They could not get. So as they say, morality is lack of opportunity. Gopinath Prabhu always quotes. So the weaker demons, they started like, hey, no, don't run away. We had made a truce with the demigods. You have to give it to them also. Because they knew, if we start following the agreement, then the demigods will also get, and we will also get little nectar. We will also become immortal. But they don't listen. They are just running away. And then the ultimate of all attractive forms of the Lord, the Lord in his most beautiful, we say Krishna is very attractive. Yes? But Krishna is attractive. But when he appears in a form which is so attractive, that form bewilders everyone. Even the demigods are bewildered and the demons are also bewildered. And then the Lord appears in that most beautiful form as Mohini Murti, just for the welfare of the demigods, welfare of the society. And Mohini Murti, when she comes, verses after verses are explaining the beauty of Mohini Murti. And the demons, they are so enamored, natural. What to speak of demigods, even demons. Not what to speak of demons, even demigods were very much allured by that. Just like initially when during the churning came out Mother Lakshmi, Rama. Seeing Rama also, all of them were very much allured. The demigods are thinking, how nice it would be that if she becomes our wife. The demons are thinking, let us enjoy her. But ultimately, Rama, she just goes and approaches Lord Vishnu as her husband. And then, when Mohini Murti appears, the demons, they are so enamored by her beauty that they are asking, oh my dear lady, who are you? From where have you come from? They are putting so many questions. And they are ready to give kindly. This nectar is so sweet. But if it is served by your beautiful hands, it will become more sweet. Just like we say that Nigama Kalpataror Galitam, just like Bhagavatam is already sweet. But when it comes out from the lips of Shukdev Goswami, it becomes still more relishable. So demons had that mentality. Nectar is already sweet, already very nice. But if Mohini Murti will feed us with her lotus hands, will become still more, that whole process will become relishable. And the Lord, when they ask, who are you? Imagine, the Supreme Lord, and he's telling, I'm a prostitute. The Lord is ready to become a prostitute or call himself as a prostitute. And she is requesting, telling them, don't have faith in me. You should not have faith. But says, no, whoever you may be, we are not concerned. You just feed us nectar. And then the whole scene is there where all the demigods and the demons, they take bath, they sit in two lines. And then Mohini Murti cheats with using her sweet words. She cheats all the demons and starts feeding the nectar to all the demigods. But Rahu, who was one among the demons, he understands, he sees this trick which Mohini Murti is playing. He comes and sits on the side of the demigods. And Surya and the moon, both of them, they understand that he is not our member. They immediately tell, Mohini is not one among us. Mohini with a Sudarshan Chakra just cuts off the head. And before cutting, actually, Mohini was feeding him. And that nectar was just in his mouth. And in that step only, his head was chopped. And therefore, Rahu, only head became immortal. And therefore, during all that eclipse time, it takes a while. So many incarnations, so many expansions the Lord is making just for the welfare of the demigods. Just for the welfare of the society. Because if the demon starts prevailing in the society, the only thing that will result is up and down. The whole society will be put in havoc. Nothing will function properly. That is the uncommon activities of the Lord, which the Lord performs for the welfare of society. But as Prabhupada writes in the purport, being illusioned, there is every chance for us to take these activities as ordinary. And Prabhupada is giving in the purport that only if one person reads Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end, then only he can understand the Supreme Lord and also take his activities very seriously. So in this pastime of Samudra Manthan, the whole episode is just dedicated for the welfare of society, for the ultimate welfare, not just ultimate, the welfare of the society. And that same Krishna, when he desires for the ultimate welfare of everyone, not just the demigods, not just some other living entities, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The whole purpose of Lord Krishna appearing, even though the external reasons, internal reasons are many, but the external reasons is for the welfare of the entire human society. He takes, even though he is full of all opulences, all the six opulences is there, but still he comes as a devotee just to start this or to inaugurate this Hare Krishna movement, to light the fire of the Sankirtan Yajna. That is the whole purpose. And not only when he is appearing as a devotee to give holy name to everyone, which is the solution to all the suffering living entities in this world, but how does he do it? Because before, when he began the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip, the welfare activity was going on only, was restricted only to these people of Navadvip. No one else was getting an opportunity to take part in the Sankirtan movement. And therefore, the Lord now presents or now shows in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the final, the last of his opulence. And what is that? Renunciation. Today is Makara Sankranti. Today is the day when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So what is the purpose? What was the need for Lord to take sannyas? Lord was happy with his house, having a mother, nice beautiful wife, wonderful devotees. Every day morning and night Sankirtan was going on. No need, but just to reach out to each and every living entity in each and every nook and corner of this world. Like, personally, he just went into India, but through his devotees, he has reached out to every nook and corner of the world. And that the whole purpose of taking sannyas is so that this holy name can reach to everyone. Just to accomplish the welfare of the entire world, of all the living entities in this world. That is the whole purpose of taking sannyas for the Lord. Otherwise, no need to take sannyas. And what does the Lord's, or how can we reciprocate? Or what does actual sannyas refers to us? Just wearing externally saffron clothes, shaving of head, putting tilak and staying in temple? Is that renunciation? Actual sannyas for every devotee, whether he is a brahmachari, grastha, vanprastha or sannyasi, the ultimate sannyas for us is to become Trinadapi Suni Chaina Tarori Vasahishnuna Amanena Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is sannyas. Because externally, whatever it may be, does not matter. But internally, unless and until we don't become humbler than the blade of grass, tolerant than the tree, and ready to offer all respects to others without expecting none in return, one cannot really advance in Krishna consciousness. To give up our false ego, to give up adoration or greed for adoration, distinction and prestige, that is real sannyas. And we can reciprocate with the mercy of the Lord, which we are getting, just by trying to develop these qualities, even though it is so difficult. I may speak, I'm sitting here and speaking, But ultimate goal of every devotee is to come to this platform. We have somehow or the other, by the mercy of devotees, mercy of Srila Prabhupada, has begun. We have taken up this process. But irrespective of our external designations, external positions, if we can some or the other come close to this verse which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave in his Sistashtak, then our life can become perfect. And just to follow this, or having the same mood of Trinadapi Sunichena Taruriva Seshuna Amani Namani Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari, Srila Prabhupada, for the welfare of the entire activity, taking the same mood which Prabhupada writes in the purport, that the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is just to try to make Krishna known all over the world as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. By taking sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Krishna known throughout India as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that people are not knowing it. He traveled through south, he traveled the entire India, he went to north, Varanasi and all that places, just to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in his mood, taking his mood as a service, all our acharyas, right up till Srila Prabhupada and all our present acharyas, they are just traveling throughout the world just to distribute this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make Krishna, or to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he can be known throughout the world as Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And that is how we can also reciprocate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. In whatever capacity, in whatever it may be, if we can, some or the other, coming out of our comfort zone, can make an insignificant, humble attempt in the mood of Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Seshuna Amani Namani Dina Kirtanya Sadari, we can just preach and make some efforts to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our life can also be perfect. As Prabhupada says, the lives of all human beings will be successful if people take this movement seriously. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthasri Madhvagatam ki.